Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood, tips and tricks,
products we love,
and brands that we can't live without. Let's get into it.
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, I'm fine, I think. I'm just a bit all over the shop emotionally at the moment. I think it's just a combination of things. I think loads of people can relate to this. It's kind of end of the year stuff. Hormones, I touched on all the hormonal stuff going on with me at the minute, and like the HRT, and just like, it's just a lot. And I think I'm a bit unbalanced. And it's interesting how much our hormones can affect our day-to-day mood. You know, some days I'm like, right, I've got this. And other days, you know, it the anxiety is quite bad. And I think it's, you know, it's a lot going on.
It's been a very strange time. And also, I don't know, I mean, this is probably really sexist, but I think a lot of people feel like this. But I saw something the other day, like, what's your gift to your husband at Christmas? And I'm like, well, it said, my gift is him having to show up without having to worry about any of it before. And I think as women, we do take it on, don't we? Like around this time of year, and especially, you know, if you're trying to wrap up work for, you know, so you can have a bit of a break over the festive period, you also have all of the Christmas stuff to do. There's probably stuff going on at your kids' school and your nursery and their nurseries as well that you've got to remember.
Yeah.
Like
cards.
It's a lot. It's actually and even just like Christmas jumper day and whatever, all the days that you have to remember to take something into school, and then they look at you and they go, oh, you forgot.
Oh my God, this is what's happening to me. This is my reality. This is what's happening to me virtually every single day. Did you not read the parent mail? It's like, no, I fucking didn't, because I'm juggling a billion other things. And, you know, I just find all of that side of it makes it even worse. And obviously I'm trying to decide, I'm sure lots of people listening that I've got a 2021 admissions child, cutoff date is the 15th of January, and we can't go around and see any of the schools. Like a few of the schools you can kind of do an outside tour, but again, when I thought we were going to be doing that was in November, and then we were in lockdown. So it's just weird, like, how am I supposed to make a decision on Luna's schools having not seen any of them? I don't know what they're like. I can't get a feel of them, you know. People are, and like, I spoke to this lady yesterday and she was like, what do you want to know? And I was like, tell me everything. How about we start with everything and then we'll go on from there? It's mad, isn't it? Like when you chose Axels, just quickly, did you go round?
Well, I did go around. But if you remember, so this time last year, we wasn't even living in this house yet. So we hadn't even exchanged on this house yet. So we didn't know that we were 100% going to be living here. And I remember that being quite stressful, because obviously there's that deadline, I think, like you said, like around the 15th of Jan. And you're literally thinking, oh my God, like I only had, it was like a couple of weeks that I had to, you know, make sure that we had an address, basically. But I did go around. I went round to a few, but not loads. And you know what it came down to in the end? It's really weird. Do you know what, though? In a way, going round actually can confuse you more. Because I like went round to see one, which a school that Axel's not at now, and I was like, oh, this is really nice. Oh, I really like this, blah blah blah. And then I went to another viewing, and I was speaking to a parent, and I was like, oh, what did you think of that other school? And they were like, oh no, I didn't like it. And then they pointed out all these faults that I hadn't even seen myself. So it's, I think you can get quite swayed by things, and I don't know, like this is probably so silly, but I think you can get swayed by what it looks like.
Yes, this is the thing, isn't it? And isn't that weird that that's such a weird mentality. Yeah. That sort of transcends across so many different aspects of life, that people judge things on how they look. And even my friend just said to me on the phone now, do not be put off by the way this school looks on the outside, because when you go in, or I'm not allowed to go in, but when you have a look at the videos and you see it, it really opens up and it's absolutely beautiful and our kids are really happy. But then you speak to another mate and then she's like, oh, actually, I'm trying to pull my kids out of that primary. And I'm like, oh, great. I have not got a clue.
This is the thing. Like, for me, it ended up being what school was closer. So, I just went for the closest school. All of the kids live, on this road or around these roads. I can walk to school in, 6 minutes or something ridiculous like that. The nursery for Gigi is next door.
So you went for convenience.
I went for convenience, and actually it's worked out really well. He's really, really happy, because the thing is, there's always going to be different teachers, different kids in the class. You can't control any of that. And as long as you like the head and they seem like they've got their stuff together, then it's cool.
Any teachers want to get in touch at the moment, please drop me a DM and just make me feel better. Anyone that can make me feel better right now. And if you could send something across for my anxiety as well, that would be mega. Interesting that we're sort of touching on anxiety, because the person that we are chatting to today definitely suffered from, she tells us in the chat that she suffered from postnatal anxiety, and obviously having a baby during lockdown, anybody else that's listening that also gave birth this year will know how terrifying in parts it's been. It's just been not normal.
We really wanted to get someone on who had been through this whole experience this year, having just had a baby without the clubs and without the coffee morning meetups and all that kind of stuff.
So G, I think we should get into it. Who are we chatting to today?
Today we are chatting to Ali Bastian.
So today's guest, another pinch me moment, actually, because she is one of our favourite females. We both grew up watching her on our screens in Hollyoaks. She's been in The Bill. She is an ex-Strictly contestant from 2009. Earlier on this year, she gave birth to her first daughter, Isla, in lockdown. Today's guest is the wonderful Ali Bastian. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for the most amazing intro. That was lovely.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good, I think. Yeah, I'm all right. A bit sleep deprived. Never know what's going to come out of my mouth. Never know how my sentences are going to end. So this could be interesting.
Do you know what? It's so funny, isn't it? Because when people ask you before you're a parent how you are, you sort of go, yeah, no, fine, thanks, and you don't really think of anything of it. And then when someone says, how are you as a parent, you're like, I don't know how
I think I'm okay.
Yeah, it's quite a hard question at the moment as well, isn't it? Life has been so insane that it's like, can any of us go, it's so British, isn't it? Oh, I'm fine, everything's fine, it's great. It's like, well, it's, you know, it's a big mixed bag of what a crazy year, really.
And you gave birth in March this year, so pretty much as we were going into lockdown. What was that whole experience like?
My goodness. So I had Isla, it was literally about 4 days, I think, before the lockdown, something like that. And we didn't know we were going into lockdown, it was because it was quite sudden, wasn't it, when it actually happened. But then everything was gaining momentum, and we had a real sense of it when we were in the hospital that it was, that it was all getting really serious. And we had an amazing midwife who just, who basically sat us down as we were leaving. And she said, look, she kind of told us what was coming. And she said, go home, shut the door. You're going to want to see all your family and friends and everything. And she said, just close the door and just be you guys, go to ground. And so we took her really seriously, and we did. And we literally shut the front door. I didn't see anyone for 3 months. I didn't leave the house for 3 months. So I look back and I'm like, gosh, that was a thing that happened. it was quite insane.
Absolutely.
And I remember the first time, I said I was really getting cabin fever. And Isla was about 3 months old. She hadn't met anybody. She'd seen my mum through the window, but that was it. And I was like, I'm going to go and post a letter. We've got a post. I felt like I was in, not to make light of it all, but 28 days later or something. It just felt so strange to have these feelings of it all feeling so unsafe in my area that I've lived for years and is my home. And it just, it was, I don't know. There's so many different aspects.
to that as well. I mean, I suppose the other side of the coin was we, you know, we had our baby. I had a C-section that was planned, but only a few days before because I had a late diagnosis of diabetes, and she was a whopper. So that was what I opted for. And the moment they put her in my arms, I was like, yes, good decision.
Made the right choice.
So the experience of having her and having my C-section was amazing, and I'm, you know, just the most magical, life-changing moment, isn't it, when they put your baby in your arms. And then we came home, and David, my husband, works in the West End, and he was so his show was just put on ice basically immediately. He was in Mamma Mia, and so he didn't go back to work. It got to the end of that paternity leave, ridiculous 2 weeks that they get. And then we've just been in our own little bubble, and in some ways it's been incredible because he and Isla are so bonded. He's, you know, whereas he'd work 8 shows a week normally, he's, you know, would have missed every single bath time and bedtime. He's here for everything, and we find ourselves co-parenting where that wasn't necessarily the plan, but it's what's happening.
So can we just take you back to your pregnancy? So pre-corona, pre-pandemic, how was your pregnancy? You mentioned that you were diagnosed with late gestational diabetes. So how did that go? How did that come up? Were you okay otherwise? Just tell us a bit about your pregnancy.
There was, I was really sick until I was about 20 weeks pregnant. So that was intense. So the early stages, I mean, God, just to think, it's nice actually to think, not nice to think of being sick, but nice to think back through it all, really, because, you know, we find ourselves in the throes of parenting and, you know, don't always reflect on how it all started. But I was quite anxious. I think the first 3 months I couldn't keep it a complete secret, and I didn't feel like that was the thing for me to do, actually. And I needed quite a lot of support because I was feeling really unwell. So I told close friends and family, but I was waiting for that 12-week scan to kind of settle myself a little bit. So I definitely, I remember that. I remember feeling every little twinge, everything that happened. I was really sort of aware of it all. And then I then got into the second trimester. And as that went on, I started to feel a lot better myself and actually had a really lovely time. I just remember that being a really good time. And I really enjoyed being pregnant and going out. I went out a lot. I went to some, you know, amazing events and red carpet things. And I don't know, I just, it was,
you felt very special.
I did. And I kind of let myself just enjoy that and love that. And I did. And I suppose things were in an interesting space professionally because our industry is notoriously not the best for families and pregnant women. And I found that work slowed down a lot sooner than I thought it was going to. But then I was a bit, I remember being a bit like, oh, okay, this is how this is. And then I thought, right, well, sod it. I'm going to just enjoy life and just be me and inhabit my own skin and my own body and be okay with not pretending to be someone else for a while, just be in my own experience. And I had a really great time. And then I got sort of into the third trimester and I remember, oh God, I had that, what's it, SPD? And pelvic girdle pain.
Oh God, yes.
Sweet Jesus. There is like nothing like that. That really slowed me down a lot. I just remember because I was big as well. I got really, really big. And that
was, she was big, wasn't she?
She was big. So had a growth spurt basically. It was my 36-week checkup. They measured me and they were like, oh, okay, you've really shot off the charts here. So they sent me off to have a scan. And then on the scan, she was measuring the 100th centile sort of head and tummy and everything. And so then I was directly sent to the diabetes clinic and had to monitor my blood sugar. And then I really quickly ended up with a diagnosis of diabetes. And then once I was sort of aware of that and checking my blood sugar after every meal, I realized that actually the times I was peaking, I felt it, and that actually I'd probably been feeling that for a while, but hadn't. I'd just put it down to sort of other pregnancy symptoms, and the fact I was so thirsty and up in the night, and you know, weeing all the time in the night, and just couldn't see all that sort of stuff. I just thought was normal, and I think for some people, I think actually for some, not to worry anybody, because they are normal pregnancy symptoms and being thirsty and all of that. But for me, it probably was pointing towards something different. And
what was it like to get that diagnosis, Ali? What went through your mind at that point?
It really shook me up, actually, to be honest. It was just really scary. It was just to suddenly find myself labelled a high risk pregnancy so late on. And then with COVID and everything that was happening and that gaining momentum, it was quite difficult to speak to anybody about what to do, really, and about the birth. And I think that was the biggest impact on me, was I hadn't really thought about my birth plan until quite late on. And then I really had sort of constructed an ideal of how I'd like it to be, which is probably whatever happens. Because everybody, I think, you know, it's kind of a truth universally acknowledged that everything is very changeable, and you can't really predict how it's going to be. But I think probably going through the process of thinking, how would I like this experience to be, was probably important. But I did, for me, no sooner had I put my pen down on that than everything went out the window.
And you chose hypnobirthing, didn't you?
Yeah.
That was what you wanted to do. That's how you wanted to have your birthing experience.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I really enjoyed that. And I found that really useful anyway. Like, I think that's really of value, whatever type of birth you like to have or whatever type of birth you end up having. They're just amazing tools for your toolkit. And I think the biggest thing it taught me was to have a sense of age. I'm so, so grateful for it, because when that happened and I suddenly got that diagnosis, I still had a sense of, okay, what do I want to happen now? It's my body, my birth, my baby. I didn't want to start feeling like things were just happening to me and decisions were being made outside of me. And so it gave me that confidence to really tune into, okay, what is true for me right now? What do I want to happen? And I knew I wanted to have a C-section at that point. And so I really kind of advocated for myself. And, you know, luckily they heard me. I spoke to a consultant. He respected my wishes. And, you know, it's not always the case if you have a bigger baby that that's what happens. Yeah. It's not what everybody wants. And I think it's, you know, quite usual that they probably induce you. But I just had this feeling that it wouldn't all end very well for us. So I pushed for it. And I think that's the confidence it gave me, because I probably prior to that would have been a bit of a, oh, okay, well, I'll wait and see what they tell me and see what, you know, what's what. And it just gave me that sense of agency. And I think that's the most empowering and important thing with hypnobirthing that comes out of it, really. Even if that is, you know, earlier on it was, how do you want the room to be, what music would you like, what, you know, who do you want with you, how are you going to handle those conversations with your wider family about who you want at the hospital and all of that kind of stuff. It just sort of puts you a bit more in the driving seat, and I think that's
very important. Gives you the confidence to make your own decisions, I guess. Do you think you mentioned that COVID, you know, that the talk of COVID and the talk of a lockdown was kind of circling and it was harder to talk to someone. Do you think that impacted your decision to have a C-section when everything is out of control? That is something you can control, isn't it?
Yeah, that's really perceptive, actually. I think that is that was part of it. I hadn't really thought about it in that way. But yes, I think I wanted to take away some of the unknowns, and at that point, and even on reflection, I feel like that was valid for me, and that was important.
Did they tell you, because a very good friend of mine has just been diagnosed with gestational diabetes, and she's 20 weeks pregnant, not her first pregnancy, but it was a real shock. I had her on the phone the other day, and bless her, she was really upset. They've told her no sugars, no carbs throughout the rest of the pregnancy. Basically, the two food groups that I lived on for the last 20 weeks, she can't eat.
Yeah, exactly.
It's cruel. Oh, it's awful.
Is that right? Is that what it was for you?
Yeah. So it was a really, it's quite a strict diet that you have to go on kind of straight away. And should we ever have more children as well, I'll have to go on that diet straight away. and I hope, God, if I'm sick again like I was as well, I just lived on carbs. I lived on you know, crackers and things like that. But yeah, it's really a carbohydrate controlled diet. You can't cut carbs out completely and sugars out completely because you're pregnant and you need, your body needs them. But it's just really a kind of measured amount. But actually, truthfully, once I got into it, I actually felt a lot better on
it. Of course you did. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and that makes sense.
I felt so good on it that I was like, I'm going to keep doing this. As soon as I have, you know, like, maybe I'm staying on this diet. No, that did not happen.
Out the window.
Yeah.
If anyone was to take away my mash, I basically lived off mashed potatoes and Bisto gravy for the first, like, about 16 weeks, I reckon. It was the only thing that settled my nausea. Like, every single meal, my husband would be like, what should we have tonight? And I'd be like, just some mash, please. Yeah, whack a bit of Bisto on the top. I mean, it's awful when you think about it, but it really did make me feel better. And if anyone said I couldn't have that, I think I would have ripped their head off.
No, it is hard. It was hard. I was quite motivated as well, though, because it meant that I didn't necessarily, it doesn't work this way for everybody, but necessarily have to be medicated. And even though it was just the last couple of weeks, it meant I was able to control my diabetes with my diet. So, which again, it doesn't always go that way. And I might have had to have had drugs. And if I'd known about it for longer, I might have done. But actually, it was nice to not have to do that.
Yeah, you mentioned after having the baby, you're at home for like 3 months and didn't leave the house. Leaving the house for any new mum is a massive deal. Like, I remember the first time I left the house with my eldest Axel, it felt like just unachievable. Like, you go through all the things you need, you need to take, and it feels like such a big deal. So after 3 months and it actually feeling dangerous to go outside, how was it for you the first time that, you know, you took Isla out, you know, to a cafe or to, you know, somewhere where there were going to be other people?
Oh gosh, to be honest, it still feels difficult sometimes and most of the time, actually. I mean, we're out walking all the time, and that's become really normal to just go out for a walk, which is lovely and so necessary. But yeah, I don't know. It's still difficult. I actually went over to my mum's yesterday and I'm like, okay, what do I need? And I showed up with so much stuff, like so much more than I needed, because I still haven't really sussed out what I'm, like, the things that I guess would become normal faster just still feels like a mission to me. Yeah, I don't know. I remember the first time, because I hadn't been in any shops or anything, and I had to go to Boots to get some bits and pieces, and I was, oh God, I don't know. I just felt, I can't even explain it, just really vulnerable, I guess, and really like, yeah, but also kind of on the defensive a bit, which is a thing that I feel like maybe some of us have developed, which is that I don't like so much, which is like, stay. I definitely feel less like this, but at the time I was literally like, stay away from me. I felt really like anti everybody, and it's not good. I think my it was my little brother as well who got a bit worried, because I said to him, I genuinely can't imagine that I'm going to ever let anybody else hold Isla or pass her to anybody. And then he was like, uh-oh, sound the alarm. Right, we have to do something about this. And he kind of gave me that loving push in the right direction to actually see, you know, to see my mum properly, to let mum hold her and to have some help. And I'm really, really glad we did that and kind of break that, because we were going down a difficult road. I haven't really spoken about that before, but it was just, I just got so protective. I think it's just been a period of kind of adjusting and, you know, just slightly pushing the boundaries at a time where, as a new mum, you need to, and you need people, and you need to get out, and you need to take your kid to a coffee shop and do things, have little anchors that feel normal and all of that. But at the same time, we're in an environment where everybody's saying, don't go near anybody, don't, you know, because we need to protect ourselves and our family and our, so it's this huge kind of contradiction, I think.
It's mad, isn't it? Because like you said, it's a complete juxtapose. It's like it's not the natural way or the way that it kind of should be. And obviously when you enter motherhood, like you said, it's people popping around all the time, bringing you stuff and meeting up with friends and going for walks in parks. And even like the lovely old lady that leans over the pram and goes, wow, isn't your daughter cute or whatever. Mm-hmm. You don't want any of that because you're trying to keep yourself safe, like you said.
Something in your brain is saying there's threat now where there wasn't threat before. Yeah. And we're already, I believe, in that sort of heightened state as mothers anyway. It kind of switches on and apparently, unfortunately, doesn't ever switch off again, that we're kind of scanning the horizon for any potential, you know, danger. But yeah, I think it's really intensified, or it certainly was in that period. So I think during that period, so it's definitely something I'm just keeping in check and also just continuing to kind of push the boundaries of what we're doing and what, you know, we're comfortable with, and just easing up. It's hard to find the words really, but just being aware of it, that that's a, you know, thing, I think.
We'll be right back after the short break.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
We all know how a Christmas carol begins, but you've never heard it like this.
Marley was dead to begin with. Dead as a doornail. Now, I don't know why a doornail. They've never had any life to begin with. But bottom line, Marley is dead.
A Christmas Carol, the rude retelling, read by Brian Harvey. Listen to the uncensored version, out now. Find it wherever you found this podcast or go to podfollow.com/Scrooge.
Bah, f*** humbug.
So welcome back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Where were we? Well, firstly, thank you for being so open and honest with us. If you haven't discussed that before, like it's going to help a lot of people, because there'll be a lot of parents listening to this who absolutely feel the exact same way, who've given birth this year and are having all of those fears. And I guess the question is, do you think you had some postnatal depression tied in there? Was it baby blues? Was it just fear of the virus, or... what do you think?
I think anxiety, probably. Mm-hmm. A bit of postnatal anxiety, I would imagine. Self-diagnosing off the cuff. I tend to sort of lean that way, probably, if I'm going to go anywhere. I don't know. I mean, is there one without the other? I don't know. I didn't have a diagnosis of it, but... Mm. My husband and I definitely are accepting like all the support we can get, and we talk to a therapist and to help us work through these things. Like we started actually doing that while when I first became pregnant, because we'd always planned to, when we were getting married, we were like, oh, well, we don't go to church, so there aren't really marriage so we don't have a marriage course to go to. Mm-hmm. So we were like, oh, well, let's go for a bit of couples therapy and just really make sure we're going into this with our eyes open and our, you know, with the
wow, that's amazing.
Communicating.
Yeah, I think that's amazing, because there's so many different languages that we can talk to each other as a couple. You know, it's five different languages of love that, and each of us require a different language. And if we don't know how to talk to the other person, or if we don't really know the full kind of landscape, you know, we jump into it and suddenly we're in it and we're like, well, actually, I don't know how to talk to this person, or I don't know how to love this person, I don't know what this person needs or wants. Like, that's, I think everyone should do it. It's so healthy.
Oh, it was good. It was the best thing. It really, really was. So we ended up, we went a bit when I was pregnant, we had a few sessions in the early stages. And then we do, you know, we just know we have an amazing lady and she's there for us when we need to check in. And that's been an absolute, especially with the year, it's been just been essential. And yes, it gives us that dialogue, I think, which helps so much.
Have you found that your relationship has changed since you've become parents?
Yes.
Very insightful of you, that G. No, it's exactly the same.
Yeah. But you know, like you obviously you were going into it quite prepared because you'd spoken to someone, but it's so different when you're actually in it, isn't it? Like you think, oh, we're totally on the same
page.
We're
so on it now. We're doing all the right things.
We're going to parent the same. Yeah, exactly. But when you're suddenly in it and like these little things occur, like you were saying, you couldn't imagine someone else holding Isla.
Yeah.
Or, you know, it isn't always how you envisage it to be.
No, exactly. And things crop up that you just cannot anticipate. And yes, and so we're very like, oh yeah, we've done this. And so we're doing the right thing. We're on the right tracks. And then life happens and it's, you know, not what you expect. It definitely has. It definitely has. I mean, God, in so many ways, I don't even know where to start. But I think we're more honest with each other than we've ever been. There's kind of, in some ways, like zero boundaries in this house now,
there
never was, but in a way that we kind of did, but you know, there's never a door shut really. It's quite hard to have either of us have any privacy at all.
Oh God, Ali, I'm the same. We've even when we've got people in the house, I'd pee with the door open now. I'm like, just shut the fucking doors because I never do it.
Oh my God, that's the same.
Yeah, becomes completely normal. But then part of me, I quite weirdly strangely like it. Is that weird?
Yeah.
But I like that it's like that easy and comfortable, you know, there's that level of kind of comfort in the house, although, you know, sometimes it is really important and nice to shut the door and just have 5 minutes to yourself. And that's got to be allowed. I don't know. Yeah, apart from everyone peeing in front of each other, I think everyone. The endless discussion about poo and nappies and who's pooed, who's eaten, you know, I don't know. It's just, I can't even find the words.
No, I think you've described it perfectly, actually. There's not much time for the two of you. Do you ever take the time out to kind of, even if it's just sharing a meal at home or God forbid, going out to a restaurant to have a date? Like, what does that look like?
We are definitely longing for that. I think we haven't been out yet. We haven't had a date yet, a date night, and we really need it. So we've definitely, we're putting that plan into action.
Amazing.
For sure.
We'll come and babysit. Me and George will come around and take Isla out. Don't worry.
That would be amazing. Thank you. Oh my God. Don't even joke. We'll take you up on that. So just having a bit of time for us is definitely, it's definitely important. And I think with us as well, because we're in this situation where we're sort of working from home, co-parenting, so we're really juggling a lot all the time. It's just finding those moments to fall into step with each other. So sometimes I feel like we're on, you know, we're just working so hard and, you know, trying to keep all the plates spinning. That, you know, when David, say like now he's gone out for a walk with Isla, sometimes even if I'm knackered, I just think I'm going to go and I want to go for that walk and just so we can chat and have some time. And so I feel like we're in step with each other for an hour or two. I think that's really important.
Yeah. That's lovely. That's really lovely, isn't it? Because otherwise you get, like, even though you're so knackered and he's probably saying to you, look, why don't you just go and shut your eyes for an hour? And you want to feel part of it and you want to take yourself out of the home environment where it is just nappies, peeing with the door open and not much time for anything else. Like,
that's nice, isn't it?
It's the same in every household though, Ali. Don't worry about it.
And work-wise, obviously you wouldn't have a traditional maternity leave being in the industry that you're in. Did you have a plan for, you know, how long you were going to take off and what does that look like now?
Oh, we had ridiculous plans. Like when I look back, like what the hell were we even thinking? I was literally like, it's all right, you know, if one of us tours, we'll all just go, you know, we'll pack up the baby, we'll pack up the car and we'll just do that. And if you work abroad, if I get a job abroad, then obviously that will just happen. And I don't know what, I just had this sort of image that and maybe it would have had life been different, you know, I suppose part of what we do is that we are very adaptable and and resilient, really. So, I was just thinking, like, cockroaches right now. There'll be no one left at the end of all of this but actors who have somehow survived. Really strange. What a strange thought. Yeah,
that's a brilliant thought, isn't it? Just like everyone's gone, but just the actors scrambling around.
The actors made it through.
because they're such survivors. We'd have sussed it out somehow. But no, I mean, as it's transpired, the industry's kind of in a really strange space, and I don't really know what the way back looks like yet. There's a few things shooting, and there's a couple of shows that have opened, but there's, yeah, it's not, it's going to be a while, I think, before it's anywhere near what it was. We've just spent this period thinking, okay, well, what can we do and what else can we do? And so, you know, David spent the first lockdown building a home recording studio so we can do our voiceovers. And which is really handy. And I write for Baby Center, I've written for Baby Magazine, and I don't know. Do you know, part of what happened with me, I think, was when at the beginning of my pregnancy, when I was saying, you know, work suddenly really slowed down, and I did my last filming job when I was 10 weeks pregnant. Yeah. And then, you know, part of me was like, oh, this is so crap. You know, why aren't, now I understand why I've played pregnant so many times, because they're not hiring the pregnant women to do that, to do it.
Why do you think that is? That's bizarre.
I don't know. Insurance, maybe. I don't, that's a total stab in the dark, but I don't know. They just don't. I think it's this, I really don't know. I think it's a big subject, really. But maybe just this, oh, well, she's pregnant, so she's kind of parked, you know, she's shelved. I got. But I don't know if that was a sort of emotional response to what was happening. But at the same time, I was so, so sick that actually when I was on the film set, I was like, I don't know if this is where I should be right now. And they are notoriously really hectic. It's always a real scramble, really, really long days. And actually, for me, it also didn't feel like the place to be. So I kind of made a decision that I wanted to be, that I was going to use my own voice more and say yes to anything that came up that was me being me. So whether, you know, like today, being on a podcast or writing in my own voice or whatever it was that I was, that I wanted to go down that road. And that's what I started doing. And it's kind of built from there, really.
It's really interesting that you talk about that, because when I found out that I was pregnant with my second, I do my radio show at Heart, and you know, they've been absolutely amazing to me. I had booked a job, and we were supposed to be filming in Florida, and I found out, and this whole, you know, lot of filming was going to be on like roller coasters, and I had to do like a skydive, and I was like, shit. I was like, what do I do? Like, I didn't want to tell anyone. And then I was like, oh, maybe I'll just go, and oh, I'm sure it'll be fine. And then my agent was like, no, you have to tell them, because you won't be able to go. But there was something inside me thinking, oh, they're just going to park me and put me to one side. I'm not going to be able to do that. So all these things go around our heads, I think, when we find out that we're pregnant, because it's not as straightforward. And I think we need to start talking about that more to kind of normalize it. Like, life doesn't stop the minute you find out you're pregnant. It doesn't mean you can't do your job, and it doesn't mean you can't, you know, perform or, you know, turn up and show up. There just might be little things that are, you know, i.e. morning sickness, that are slightly affecting you, and tiredness and stuff. But surely we're living in a world now where we can understand that a little bit more and support it.
Absolutely what you just said. And I really hope that maybe that will be something that comes out of this period as well, that there's just a way, you know, now everybody's working from home more, the way we structure our days is completely different. Everyone has to kind of show up how they are as well. You know, you'll be on a Zoom meeting with someone and there'll be their kid running around in the background, and you know, we just kind of have to come as we are, and rather than also trying to compartmentalize it and think, oh, that's my home life, so that I'll, you know, put that in that box, and this is how I show up professionally. And it's like, actually what's become more and more important for me is to show up as a, with all of that kind of in a more integrated place. You know, I'm a mum, I'm an actor, I'm all of, you know, I'm a mess, I'm tired, I'm also what I do. I'm a kind of a big mix of all of it.
Do you know what, you're so right, actually. And I think, you know, for people who work in like a more traditional like office environment, it's been a huge thing. working, like before, you know, the 9 to 5 just didn't fit for parents, really. Like it's so difficult, you know, when you've got school pickups and you know your boss is on your back because you've been to the Christmas show and all that kind of stuff. And I think this year for sure people are realizing you can have both, you know, and we can make it work. And there's always that, there's a saying, isn't there, that if you want something done, then give it to a busy mother, because she'll find a way and she'll find the time.
That is a strange thing that seems to happen with us as well. That's like, okay, I've had a baby. What else can I do now? Like, I feel you do maybe often to, you know, not the easiest, end up taking on more and more and more. So kind of have to watch that as well. But I do think that we have this amazing resilience and this ability to, I don't know, recreate things, reimagine things, you know. And so I think that's why you find so many mums that have started up a company, run it, you know, have a mum brand, have a, you know, start a new business. Lots of entrepreneurial parents that have thought, well, my old life actually doesn't work with this, with our new setup. So what can we do? And people sort of seem to have this amazing capacity to evolve and, you know, change, develop new ideas.
Oh, well, I knew you'd be brilliant, but I didn't think you'd be this ace. Listen, before we let you go, we like to ask a couple of things at the end of the podcast. Should we do advice first, Georgia?
Yeah. What is the best piece of advice that you've been given this year, or that you would give to someone else who's about to become a parent?
Okay. Do you know, the first thing that popped into my head, I saw my next door neighbour the other day over the garden wall, and I was like, oh, I'm knackered, Isla's not sleeping, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, they don't sleep. They just don't sleep. And anyone that tells you that babies sleep through the night is lying. She's like, I don't know why they do it, but people lie.
Sleep like a baby.
Yeah. What? And it just made me feel so much better, because I think I'd been feeling like I was failing in a way, because my baby's not sleeping, you know, 7 till 7 through the night. So it must be because of my choices, or it must be something I'm doing or not doing. And now I need to invest in some kind of training or do something. And it's just made me think that actually she's just doing her baby admin. This is what it is. It is tiring. It's really tiring. But what might be time better spent for me might be making sure I've got some support in the day so I can have a break, and you know, just finding other ways to contend with it all, but also taking alleviating that pressure of I'm failing and not battling those feelings as well as being tired is just really, really helping, to be honest.
Absolutely. I mean, they just do what they want to do, to be honest, don't they, when it comes down to it.
And also, if we could get your 5, or, you know, if you don't have 5, just as many products that you absolutely swear by, that you're kind of using nonstop, that you have been using since baby arrived.
Okay. Yes, one of my absolute favourite things is we've had the Snuggle, why are we saying a funny voice? Aircot next to the bed. And that's been amazing, because she's nearly 9 months, but she still sleeps in the room with us. But it has, you can extend it to make it a bigger cot. So randomly, I looked in the cot one day and she was like nose to nose with the mobile, because she was suddenly sitting up. So we made it bigger, but it's still, you know, we can still have it in the room, and I really like that. So that's ace. Ethan the Fox, I don't know if you've come across
this. Don't know Ethan the Fox.
Little fella, but he's a little orange fox who, it's a teether, and he's brilliant and really brightly colored, and so she just absolutely loves Ethan. So yeah, I really recommend Ethan the Fox. The best nappy bin in the world, we've had a couple of different ones, but the one that has stood the test of time is Angel Care. They do an amazing nappy bin. So
we had that.
Did you like? Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
I even think, like, through the summer, when, because we've our bedroom is in the loft, like that could have been bad times. Sorry.
I'm just thinking going back. It's the worst.
Yeah. So that was ace. Like, really recommend that. What else have we got that's amazing? Vital Baby. This, a friend of mine said, get the UV sterilizer. And so it's like all of these things, they're really super useful when you need them. So like the first 6 months of sterilizing everything, that was just brilliant, because you can throw everything in it and it just does the job. Vital Baby UV sterilizer. Oh, we've got a fun buggy that's a Thule one. It's a three-wheeler, like off-roady one.
Nice.
I believe people use it for running. I do not use it for running. there is no running at the moment, but there is a bit of off-roading on the river path and it can handle that. So it's really, I love it. It's brilliant.
Amazing.
Brilliant. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah, that's fab. That. Yeah, all ones we haven't heard before as well. So that's really
good.
Great.
There you go.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Ali, thank you so much for coming on. You sound like you're absolutely smashing it. And I think you've really helped loads of people listening today who've obviously had babies this year, because what a year it's been. But
it's been bonkers, but we'll get through it. And
yeah, we will.
Like there is, yeah, baby steps. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, she's so lovely, isn't she?
Yeah, she is. And you know what? I think so many people who have had a baby this year will relate to a lot of what she said, especially like, you know, there's things that you and I just wouldn't consider and think about. You know, for us, gosh, the clubs aren't open and, you know, you might not get to see your midwife face to face, but actually the impact that that has on, you know, you not being trusting of other people holding your baby, like that is such a natural thing to come out of the circumstances.
Yeah, and I'll be completely honest with you, after Luna was born, Dozza obviously was playing rugby and didn't get any paternity leave, probably the same as James because of sport. And the days in which the health visitor or the midwife came, I looked forward to them. I knew that somebody was going to be with me for an hour, making sure that I was okay. You know, somebody was going to be taking Luna off me and letting me have a rest, just not holding her. You know, if that was taken away from me, that would have been really, really, really hard. It's just another hurdle that you've got to get over. So I think, it's definitely made me think about this year and think more, I guess, about the women that are really going through it. Like we are here for you. If this is you and you're nodding, please do drop us a message anytime if you need a bit of support.
Absolutely.
And as always, we would love you to rate, review and subscribe to the podcast, and if you could give us a little 5-star review, that would be amazing.
Yes, please do. And if you have any suggestions for guests that you've seen that you think would be great, then please drop us a message at Made by Mamas or on Zoe's own channel at Zoe Hardman, and we will see you on Friday.
We'll see you then.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.